You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Five Rounds Podcast, the only podcast out there with the cardio for those deep water championship rounds. I am Mags, and today I'm just going to go over what happened on this week's UFC event. It's UFC Fight Night 61 coming from Tampa Bay. Quite a hefty prelim card, so we'll get straight into that. We started with JJ Aldrich beating Lauren Muller by decision in the women's flyweight. Then we went into the middleweight division where Marvin Vettori picked up the decision against Andrew Sanchez. Again, moving to the welterweight division, Miguel Baeza knocked out Hector Aldano in the second round. And then in the bantamweight, another knockout with Marlon Vera knocking out Andre Ewell in the third. Going to the flyweight division, we had Davison Figueiredo beating Tim Elliott by first round sub. And then going back to the welterweight, we had another decision with Alex Morono taking the win over Max Griffin. Going to the lightweight division, we had Mark Davis getting the third round knockout against Thomas Gifford. And then the featured prelim was Ryan Spann getting the second round sub over Devin Clark.
Bad. Okay, I'm Matt Willis, and this is Graham Bagshaw. Welcome, you kid.
What am I supposed to do? You just introduced me. This should be the trailer. This is it. Listen to us Fridays on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. That's it. That's going. Send it out right now.
We're out of here.
So then going into the main card, again, quite a hefty card, lots of fights on this. Started in the middleweight division with Eric Anders taking on Gerald Meerschaert. Meerschaert losing by decision, Anders picking up the decision victory. For me, I felt it was maybe a bit too close to call. We saw at the beginning that Meerschaert was taking probably the more shots, but they just seem to have no power behind them. And Eric Anders in the first round was definitely the harder hitter, and you could see the damage that he was doing. Meerschaert tried to take the fight to the ground in the first round, but Anders was having none of it. But Meerschaert did what a lot of fighters could actually learn with doing, and that's coming out in the second round after realising his first round wasn't going to plan. And he came out and he actually changed his game plan and he started attacking more. And he had a much better second round. He landed the way more shots than Anders, and he actually had a lot more power in them shots. So he was obviously using up a lot more energy. He was actually worrying Anders, and he hit Anders with a body shot, which looked like it might have broke a few ribs, because after that Anders was suffering for the rest of the fight. Goes into the third round and Anders stepped up his game a little bit, but you could still tell whenever he was taking shots to the body that he was wincing in pain, and it was really affecting him. But he managed to get through that and picked up the split decision victory, which I think Meerschaert could feel a little bit aggrieved, and it's a fight that I'd probably like to see run back. So then after that we go into the lightweight division with Matt Frivola, with a huge fan support base, taking on the violent Bob Ross in Luis Peña. Another fight that went to decision. This one for me was a little bit more clear cut. Frivola come out in the first round absolutely all guns blazing. There was a huge size difference and reach difference, and Frivola did really well to get inside the pocket for Luis Peña and really help with the dirty boxing that he was doing. He was very dynamic with his striking, and it was kind of like a little angry honey badger. Peña just didn't have an answer for him, really. Once Peña started getting his game together. He started to control in the clinch a little bit more and using his long knees and limbs and his uppercuts to start really testing Frivol, and that was more apparent in the second round than in the first. I felt that Pedya probably took that second round because his output was a lot higher. He definitely was the more aggressive of the two fighters. But Frivola really did well to get out of the attempts of Kimura's. Very, very dynamically got out of him, using lots of like different kinds of rolls and spins to get out. He did really well in defending those submissions. And when he was back on his feet, he was still being very aggressive with his attack. So he picked up a much clearer cut victory than the first one on the main card. So then we go into the women's strawweight. And we had Mackenzie Dern, 4 months off giving birth to a child, taking on Amanda Hebus. This was as one-sided a victory as you're going to get in this strawweight division. Amanda Hebus fought a perfectly adequate game plan, really attacking with the jabs and the uppercuts. And it's almost like Dern didn't have anything really to offer in this. There's not really a lot that can be said, to be fair. Rebus, she probably could do with working on her power, because if she had some knockout power, this fight would have been over a lot sooner. But yeah, a great victory for Rebus, picking up the win against Dern. And like I said, Dern didn't seem to have much in the way of a game plan to combat against Rebus. So Rebus with the very, very decisive victory there for me. Going into the welterweight division, and the only finish of the main card was Nico Price and the KO to James Vick. Now, wow, this is a KO that you need to see to believe. These two, we both know that they are absolutely heavy hitters, and both like to come and have a war with their opponents. And it started off exactly in that vein. Both were throwing shots. Nico Price I felt was having the better of the shots in the opening minute or so in the stand up. But then it went to ground and Vic looked like he was in control on the floor. And then Nico Price swung his heel with a beautiful upkick, caught Vic clean on the cheek, and you could just literally see his eyes roll into the back of his head and he was asleep. A few more shots to follow up, and Herb Dean literally had to wrestle Price from underneath Vic. Great victory for Price. And again, these two do come to war, and they absolutely showed that. Going into the co-main event, and we had Cub Swanson, the wily UFC veteran, taking on the hot new Gracie on the block, Cron Gracie. Before I get into the actual fight, I just want to address the politics behind this fight a little bit. Cub Swanson is known for being like a kind of a traveller when it comes to his gyms and his camps. He's always had this mindset where if you are settled in one place, you can't grow and learn as a fighter. He talks about this samurai way a lot, and basically he's this travelling kind of person. He wants to soak up as much information about mixed martial arts as he can, but for some reason, now it's not been explained whether it's a Cron Gracie issue or an issue with the Gracies in general, but he was actually turned away from several Gracie affiliated jiu-jitsu gyms, which it just, that kind of doesn't sit well with me. I mean, I can understand you don't want to train your opponent, but he went to multiple different gyms to learn and to grow as a fighter, and it just seems that a little bit of politics in this tried to get in the way of this fight, and it ended up being a little bit more personal, especially on the side of Cron Gracie, where he felt that the shots that Cub was coming with about not being able to train in these gyms were aimed directly at him, whereas Cub has said that they weren't. It was just like upset about the politics, about not being able to train the way he trains. And like I said, he's always had the mindset that you don't have to be loyal to a gym. You can go around and go to different places and learn different skill sets. Anyway, getting into the fight, and it felt like that Cub felt like he had something to prove almost. Obviously, like I said, Cron Grace is this upstart fighter, and Cub Swanson was on a big slide, one of the biggest slides of his career, losing his last three fights. Whether he was trying to prove something to himself or whether he was trying to prove something to the Graces in general, he came out and he fought a really, really good game plan. The surprising thing was how much Cron Gracie wanted to stand and bang with Cub Swanson, which was quite surprising, really. Cub obviously very weary about going to ground with Cron, because Cron is incredibly dangerous on the ground, whether on his back or on top. So Cub was very careful to not put himself in a position where the fight went to the ground. But it just looked like Cron was happy to trade with Cub Swanson, which in the featherweight division is quite a brave tactic, knowing that how talented Cub Swanson is and how much power he has in his strikes. For me, I felt that Cub won every round, maybe apart from the third. For the last 30 seconds of the fight or so, Cub went to ground with Cron, which I thought was quite brave and quite silly, to be honest, because with someone of the skill set of Cron, 30 seconds can be a lifetime whilst being trapped in his submissions. But he survived it. I think that was more to show Cron that, yeah, I can still tangle with you on the ground and you're not going to sub me. Maybe it was that kind of mentality. But he picked up a victory and got back into the win column, and that's actually the first loss for Cron Gracie. Cub had some words for him after the fight, saying again that this wasn't a personal attack on him, and that he thinks that he's going to be a future world champion, and he's got all the skills needed, but maybe just he needs to travel a little bit more and learn a little bit more different kinds of skill sets, which, coming from someone like Cub Swanson, is it's advice that any fighter should really take on board. So now let's have a good look at the main event. Joanna Jędrzejczyk taking on the karate hottie Michelle Waterson. Joanna, obviously, the former strawweight champion, but has been on a little bit of an up and down kind of record recently. Obviously, she lost the title to Rose Namajunas and then lost it again, lost in the rematch. She came back to face Tisha Torres and then lost to Valentina Shevchenko. Whereas Michelle Waterson has been on quite a bit of a tear recently. She's beat Courtney Kaser, Felice Herrig, and Karolina Kowalkiewicz. So quite a lot to fight for in this fight, and it looked like the winner was probably going to be the person that takes on Weili Zhang next. So from minute one, this to me felt like the Joanna of old, the dynamic kicks, the multiple different ways that she was using her combinations. I felt that with the skills that Joanna has got as a fighter, and as much as I like Michelle Waterson's heart and her the way she fights, I felt that the only person who could beat Joanna in this fight was Joanna self-doubting, like she did in the second fight against Namajunas, and like she did in the fight against Valentina Shevchenko. But like I said, this was kind of like the Joanna of old, the dominant fighter who was absolutely on a tear in this division. Like I said, beautiful leg kicks, and that was the standout of this fight for me, the way she controlled Michelle Waterson with those leg kicks, knowing that Michelle's got a karate base, and if she could stifle those kicks, then she takes away a big part of Michelle's game, and she did that to the point where she even broke a foot in the second round and was heavily limping, but still was throwing this broken foot and landing low leg kicks, high leg kicks, the body shots, the way she's bust up Michelle Waterson's nose. Michelle was finding a lot of positives in the clinch up against the cage, but even then Joanna was still able to like land a few shots, and Michelle was actually getting her best moves when she was clinching, then pulling away and landing the 1-2 jab combination. But unfortunately for Michelle Waterson, she was just facing somebody who was an all-round better fighter than her. Joanna obviously must have had a little bit of a lack in confidence over the last few fights she's had, but that came back in absolute spades in this fight, and she was pretty dominant all the way through the fights. And it's Michelle just didn't have an answer to Joanna's skill set, and there wasn't an area where Joanna felt uncomfortable, apart from maybe the 1-2 jabs when they were pulling away from the clinch. Joanna picked up a very, very decisive victory and a very well-deserved victory. And we'll just have to see where Michelle Waterson goes after this, because I think this fight gave her a lot of food for thought about where she lies in this division. The problem is she's very light for this division. She doesn't have to cut much weight, and when she was Invicta champion, she was actually champion at atomweight, which is like 10 pounds lower. So where Joanna cuts weight to make this division, Michelle doesn't, and you could see that with the size and with the like the muscular structure. So I think Michelle's kind of stuck in a place kind of reminiscent of how Demetrius Johnson was before UFC introduced the lower weights, where this is the lowest weight available to her in the UFC. But she's kind of too small for this weight, if people can understand what I mean. But Joanna picked up a very decisive victory, and it's got to put a huge boost of confidence to her. So,
hey, I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And we host the gaming podcast. You can listen to us every other Saturday, where we bring you all the latest gaming news and our review of the week.
Our backlog includes Mass Effect, Metal Gear Solid, Kingdom Hearts 3, Far Cry New Dawn, and many more games.
Check us out every other Saturday on Visions Within Network, and as always, we're out of here.
Let's just go through with Cub and Joanna, see where I'd like to see him fight again. Again, this is another one of those cards where there's plenty of fights on the card, but none that really, really stand out in terms of people rising to the top ends of their divisions. But if we have a quick look at Cub in the featherweight division, he's in the lower end of the top 15. Obviously, like I said, he's suffered three losses on the bounce before beating Cron Gracie today. Looking around his area, I mean, there could be a case made for him to face Renato Canero. He obviously lost to him pretty recently, but that could be a fight that Cub wants to get that win back, or maybe even someone like Josh Emmett, who has won his last couple of fights. Or if we're really looking to test him, maybe put him up against, I mean, I think it's probably too much, but stick him up against Frankie Edgar again. When Frankie Edgar and Cub Swanson fight, everybody loves it, and obviously he's got a loss to Frankie Edgar pretty recently as well, so maybe that could be the fight for Cub to take. There's a lot of different choices in that featherweight division. It's just that a lot of the top fighters are tied up. I mean, you've got Max Holloway's taking on Alex Volkanovski pretty soon, and then you've got Brian Ortega who's taking on Chang Sung Jung, and then you've got Zabit Magomed Sharipov taking on Calvin Kattar. So a lot of the top fighters are actually tied up with fights over between now and the Christmas period. So let's just see where the land lies for Cub Swanson. I'd like to see him try and get back into the top of that division. I think he's the kind of fighter that maybe if he's not fighting for titles, he's the one that people have to beat to get to being a title contender. So then looking at the strawweight division, obviously we've gone over how dominant Joanna Jędrzejczyk was against Michelle Waterson, and I think there's no real option outside of Weili Zhang for the strawweight title. Weili obviously has been incredibly dominant, and the knockout victory over Jessica Andrade was proof that she's one of the better fighters in this division. Rose Namajunas obviously gone missing in action since she lost her Andrade, and then obviously there's Andrade herself who hasn't fought since losing to Weili Zhang. So the two options are there for Joanna to take on Andrade or Zhang. For me, I'd say it's got to be Zhang. I think the way that Andrade was absolutely dominated by Zhang, and then the way Joanna dominated against Michelle Waterson, and I think that fight pretty much makes itself. So yeah, I think that would be the fight that I'd like to see. I'd like to see Zhang defend that title against the former champion Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
A bump, James, is when you just literally outside the show.
Okay, well, our show?
Yeah, our show, yes.
Okay.
What you talk about with, you know? A show that's quite out once a month, usually the first Sunday of a month, on Vision Fest Network.
Sounds great.
Yeah, that'll do.
So then, looking at next week's card, it's UFC on ESPN 6 coming from Boston. Let's just have a quick look at the card. We've got the on the prelims, there's a lot of fights on the card again, but on the prelims we've got the likes of Court McGee fighting, we've got Randy Costa in, Molly McCann is fighting Diana Belbita, and then the featured fight is Charles Rosa taking on Manny Bermudez. Then going on to the main card, again, absolutely stacked. We've got Darren Wynn taking on Darren Stewart. We've got Macy Barber taking on Gillian Robertson. Joe Lauzon taking on Jonathan Pierce. Greg Hardy, hopefully getting his ass whipped by Ben Sasole. And then the core main event is Yair Rodriguez taking on Jeremy Stevens in the rematch from the fight not too long ago with the Arpokes and the stuff being thrown in the octagon from the Mexican fans. And then the main event in the light heavyweight division, we've got Chris Weidman taking on Dominic Reyes, the unbeaten Dominic Reyes, and surely that's the kind of fight that's going to sort out who maybe could be taking on Bones next. So yeah, look forward to listening to what we think about that next week. Anyway, thanks for listening. You can find me on Twitter at DJ Kirkby. Thanks for listening, and that is the end.
You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.